In August 2023, I interviewed a local woman involved with the group Our Neighborhood Voices, Mary Turley, and we discussed fighting state housing mandates, more housing doesn't mean affordable housing, ballot initiatives to return land use zoning to local control, and there was SB 9 and SB 10. So today's guest is also involved in Our Neighborhood Voices, and we'll follow up on those topics and more. Anita Enander is living in Los Altos. She spent 4 years on the Los Altos City Council, also was mayor and on the Planning Commission. And she's a serial entrepreneur, a self-admitted failure at retiring. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Anita Enander.
Thanks so much, Mark.
I like that you told me that, a self-admitted failure at retiring. So you keep going. How are you? What's your connection with Our Neighborhood Voices? What drew you to that organization?
Well, actually, I have to credit the recently deceased mayor of Redondo Beach, Bill Brand, for getting me involved almost 8 years ago. Bill was had a lot of insight and foresight, and he saw that the legislature was going to systematically take away the rights of residents and the ability of cities to decide what kind of development happened in their own city. And that was motivating me at the time to be on the Planning Commission and then on to City Council. So I got involved with him, and that's what morphed into Our Neighborhood Voices.
And he was the mayor of Redondo Beach, and when you told me about him, I did look him up, and he was very young. He passed away when it was cancer.
Yes.
Very sad. And, just to make a bit of a joke, you know, 7-8 years ago, and we seem to be, and I'm saying we because I feel like I support a lot of what Our Neighborhood Voices is trying to fight for, local control, local land use, but people listening might feel the opposite. But when I say we, it seems like we're losing the battle.
Well, actually, I think that the tide is turning, if I can use that metaphor. Last week, or actually two weeks ago now, SB 9, which you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, was ruled unconstitutional in Los Angeles County because SB 9 was premised that it would, like most of the other 150 bills that the legislature has passed in the last 7 years having to do with housing, was supposedly about, quote, affordable housing, and yet there was nothing in the bill that would require there to be any affordable housing. So the judge said, you know, you can't show us that this is going to help make housing more affordable, and so you cannot intrude on the constitutional authority of what are called charter cities, because there's both charter cities, which get to write their own constitution, and then general law cities, but this suit was brought by some charter cities. The judge said, you can't intrude on the constitutional rights of these charter cities to decide what to do. And that has brought out a number of people who are finally saying, you know, in spite of all the hollering that's been going on about affordable, affordable, affordable for the last 7 years, gee, the legislature's done a lot of stuff and it's not working.
It's very true, and that's a good point, an indicator to bring up, this recent judge's ruling on SB 9. And you mentioned charter cities. I know, my understanding, Santa Barbara is a charter city. I don't know if Los Altos is, but this ruling apparently impacts 5 charter cities in the Los Angeles area. I wonder how other charter cities can take advantage of this ruling, or does it have to go through a certain process, process?
We're actually waiting for the judge to issue what's called the final order, and that final order will specify how broadly this decision applies. So whether it will apply to all charter cities in Los Angeles County, which is the judge's immediate jurisdiction, or whether he will rule that it should apply to all charter cities in the state, we don't know yet.
That's interesting. I don't know enough about the law. I know if you have a federal judge make a ruling, it applies to all states. I don't know what, I know there are state courts that might be able to make a ruling that apply to everybody in the state. And it'll be very interesting to see how threatened the legislature feels about SB 9 being attacked or, you know, ruling it unconstitutional. That's kind of a big deal. And I don't know if they can tweak SB 9 to say that it should be affordable housing. Or when you go to build your, take your single family. And am I correct? Is SB 9 more about where you have single family residents and now they say you can have 2 to 4 units?
Yeah, actually 4 to 6, because you can split your lot in half, build a duplex on each half, and build an ADU on each half. So that's how you could end up with as many as 6 housing units on what used to be a single-family home, which could also have had an ADU under state law that changed a number of years ago, which basically did away with single-family zoning. It gave everybody the right to have an ADU.
Right. So you might say it allowed a single-family residence to become a duplex with an ADU. And I don't think a lot of people really made a huge effort or cried a whole lot about it. There's many garage conversions, granny units out there. But SB 9 went a whole lot further, as you are just explaining, up to 6 units. And I remember reading in Los Angeles, some of these developers bought a single family home and then just built it was just really running rampant. So it'll be very curious to see. My guest today, who's out of Los Altos, Anita Enander, and she's part of Our Neighborhood Voices, which is online if you want to visit ourneighborhoodvoices.com, and you can email them on that website. And again, Mary Turley was on back in August. Do you know Mary?
I do.
Oh, okay. I think I met her at some event and followed up, so that was good. So it's very exciting. Do we have any idea? Well, it's exciting if you if you support local control and you want to see SB 9 perhaps modified, overturned. Is there any time frame that you can be aware of?
Yes. What we are hoping for, and people who've been around the state of California may remember when Prop 13 finally passed. That was the last proposition that had all volunteer signature collectors to get something on the ballot. This is the initiative process is not common in all states in California. It's a well-tried exercise. And to get a constitutional amendment on by initiative, we would have to collect about 900,000 valid signatures. We believe we would need to do that with a combination of volunteers and paid signature gatherers. That means getting lots and lots of people signed up statewide to do that volunteer effort. And Mary is one of our early supporters who signed up to be ready to do that. And then raising the funds to supplement that to get paid signature gatherers so that we could ultimately get on the ballot. It's a long process. The next possibility would be in November of 2026.
Wow. Yeah, I wonder, I always get confused. There's the initiative where you need people to sign to get to try to attain a constitutional amendment. And do you know the other term that's similar but different? Not initiative?
Well, some people will talk about a referendum.
Oh, that's it. Well, how does that differ?
Thinking about it?
Yeah, how does that differ from the initiative?
Good question. A referendum is to reverse an action that was taken, whether it was a law or something that was passed at the local level. Because you can have a referendum in your city, at your county, or at the state level, and that's to just reverse a legislative action. We aren't trying to reverse 150 actions. You can't. You have to do a referendum. You can only deal with one thing at a time. The magic of a constitutional amendment is that once it passes, cities can change their local laws to what they want. They no longer have to do what all 150 of these bills said. They can change it, you know, back or modify what they've have to be what they really want for their community. And in the future, as the state passes new law, they don't have to change them to match that new state law if they don't want to. So it's really a much more comprehensive solution that works both for everything that's been passed up till now and anything that's passed in the future by the legislature.
My guest is Anita Enander. She's involved with Our Neighborhood Voices, and you can find them online, ourneighborhoodvoices.com. So 900,000 signatures. Am I remembering correctly that we have 58 counties in California? So
yep.
I divided 900,000 by 58, and that's 15,000 signatures per county. And looking at Santa Barbara County, you know, we have a huge population. Some counties very, very small. I suppose you probably don't know the number of cities in California, but, you know, reduce it down to see what each city needs to do. But 15,000 signatures in Santa Barbara County seems like a piece of cake. So maybe the larger counties, like Santa Barbara County, could come up with 30,000 signatures.
Yes. And obviously, larger counties and cities are going to be doing more. The easy way to calculate it is the state requirement is based on 8% of the number of votes cast in the most recent gubernatorial election. And so in 2022, there were just a little over 1 million votes cast for governor, and that's why you have to have, I think it's 887,000 signatures, about 890,000 signatures. So if you look at Santa Barbara County, and I don't know how many total votes were cast for governor, but you take that total number and take 8% of it, that's what we would be hoping to get from Santa Barbara County.
Oh, I see. And is that, do they say that in order to qualify, Santa Barbara County at a minimum needs to get that 8%?
No.
Okay.
It's a total for the state,
okay.
Which means if it's easier to collect signatures in Santa Barbara County than it is in, let's say, a really rural county, that we might be looking for more out of Santa Barbara than from some of those rural counties where it can be tough to get around, because you have to collect the signatures in person.
You know, you need like an Uncle Sam poster. You know, I want you to vote for this.
That's right. That's what we should have on the front of our webpage, right? We want you.
Yes. And although I saw a joke online where it's something, we want they, but that's another topic. what did you say the number of votes were cast statewide for the last gubernatorial election in 2022? What was that?
Just shy of 1.1 million.
Okay. That's very interesting. Okay, we're talking about Our Neighborhood Voices, and my guest is Anita Enander. She's out of Los Altos, and she has a problem. She can't retire. So I'm glad you got to keep going for November 2026 and get 900,000 valid signatures. I don't know how many initiatives are attempted, fail, and are successful, but we'll have to see. And that's going to be a big thing. And we'll have to see also on this judge's ruling on SB 9. Anything else you want to say about Our Neighborhood Voices, what else they do, what you look for people, and how they could help?
So I'll just add that one of the things that's very motivating for people right now is that really for the first time, the legislature is wanting to apply some of these terrible laws that they've passed recently to the coast. And last year, for the first time, they passed one, and they failed to exempt the coastal zone. This year there are at least 4 more laws that would apply some of these, you know, like ADU laws and SB 9 type laws to the coast. And people who live in coastal communities are really up in arms about this. So it tells us two things. One is the legislature is not done. People keep saying, well, you know, 150 laws, how aren't, you know, are they going to be done soon? Obviously not. They continue to find new ways to take away the democratic voices of residents. And now they've invaded the coast. They want to invade the coast. And that's motivating a lot more people to pay attention to what our neighborhood voices offers as a comprehensive solution to stop the madness.
You know, I'm sure people are listening, and some people are thinking, well, you know, we don't have affordable housing, and you know, we don't, the inventory is very low for houses for sale and for rents, and you know, we need more housing. And you know, but on the other hand, I've been interviewing economists for the last 26 years, and their refrain is always, you can't build your way out of this problem. So it's kind of like, sure, you want to try to have some housing that maybe local fire and police and teachers could have an affordable rental unit. But then when you see what's being proposed right now, and the Board of Supervisors in Santa Barbara here in early May 2024 just approved a ton of housing on sites. And I took four of them, and they give the acreage and the number of units. And, you know, they break it down, and, you know, there's not a ton dedicated to lower income. And one project at La Cumbre Plaza, it's very, very low. But the density, 23 units per acre, 17 units per acre, 27 units per acre, 48 units per acre. And that's quite and this is just adjacent to single family homes, which might be, you know, 4 to 6 units per acre. So the density is just massive. The traffic, the water, it's just, we have no electricity, we have no water. Traffic is already at a standstill. So I don't know. I guess some people are, you know, again, and I agree with people where you say, you know, we want to try to create some affordable housing, but it's just easier said than done.
It's complicated. I think realtors actually have the best sense of the market even before developers or banks or the legislature. And you know that, what's that saying, for every complex problem, there's a solution that's simple, neat, and wrong. And the solution the legislature has, which is, you know, just build, 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 ignores economics. And to develop affordable housing requires subsidies. The legislature doesn't want to face up to what's it really going to cost to subsidize the construction of housing that will cost people less than, quote, the market rate. And until we have that conversation, we're not going to solve this so-called affordability problem.
It's well put. And, you know, in California, you know, we talk about taxes. We talk about the highest gas price in the country. And on one hand, you might say, well, if a guy's going to lease a gas station, you know, leases and rents are expensive. So maybe it stands to reason that gas would cost a little more because you're paying more to operate a business. But it's not that simple. I mean, Hawaii pays less for gas than California, and they kind of have to make a trip to get it there, and their real estate's expensive. So California certainly battling a lot on this front. And Governor Newsom, I guess, has been a champion of these bills. I don't know how he's going to... do you track anything with him and what he's doing to support and keep these bills?
Well, I think one of the things I learned being an elected official is maybe more than I wanted to know on how legislation happens in Sacramento. And a lot of it is based on advice that I think is bad advice. So the legislature and the governor can say, you know, we need more housing all they want, but they're not going to make builders build when the builders can't make money. And there are many reasons that, as they say now, things don't pencil out. the cost of money right now, the cost of materials, which is driven by international markets, tariffs, and a lot of other things, the cost of labor. We have fewer people in the trades now than we had in 2008. We've never recovered in the trades from that. The trades will say, we don't really support some of these laws because they do nothing for our workers, but expanding the work pool would slow down wage growth, which is bad for the existing workers. So even though the legislature has mandated statewide that we build over 300,000 units per year for 8 years, that's only happened 1 year out of the last 40.
Right.
Think about that for a minute.
Right.
1 year out of the last 40. How are you going to do that? I mean, the cost of housing is complicated. Then add in the influence of taxes, which constrains people from selling and moving. You know, this is not a simple supply and demand kind of thing, as much as people, again, would like to have a solution that's simple and neat, but is unfortunately wrong.
Well, good point to bring up on tradesmen, contractors. I know that that's a big issue as well, just to build anything. And we're going to leave it there. My guest today from Our Neighborhood Voices, you could go to ourneighborhoodvoices.com. And Anita Enander out of Los Altos, a self-admitted failure at retiring. Thanks for keep going until November 2026, Anita. Thanks so much and good chatting with you.
Thank you. We'll hope to see more of your listeners sign up on ourneighborhoodvoices.com. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. Take care. Okay. And again, maybe some of you are listening and you completely disagree with their group. And I'm sure there are avenues and groups where you can elect to support. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. I've got an email from someone up in Portland, Oregon, a real estate seller. I'll share with you when we return. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.